Good morning.
It's
a pretty nice day for this time of year, there's no doubt about it. Chuck's put me to test here. How long do you have to hold? There it went. Okay. I thank you for the opportunity I have to speak to you this morning. It's certainly not well polished, I will say that. But any time we can look into God's Word, it's certainly a blessing and an opportunity for us to grow thereby. And as we look into God's Word this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about giving. And just a few points on giving and the things that go along with giving. And I don't have all the verses up on the slides for obvious reasons. I didn't have time. So some of them we're going to have to turn to and read. And things like that. You know, giving is something in our country that certainly has been taken for granted. And we get to the point, I think, in our country that we expect people to give unto us. Now, at this time of the year when we have giving and receiving and all the things that we have and how we look at giving and receiving, the world tries to say that the 25th of December is Christ's birth and that everybody should remember giving at that time because of Christ's birth. And then there's just a tradition in our country where you give and receive gifts. There's nothing in the Bible that says Jesus was born on December 25th. And all of your religious scholars will tell you the same thing that I'm telling you. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. And it was a date that the man came up with to try to go and do ceremonial things in the name of Christ, which is not in the Bible. So understand that when I'm talking about giving this morning, I'm not talking about Christmas Day and all the things that goes along with that. Although this time of year when there is giving, it makes us think about giving. Okay? And what we give and how we give and all the things that goes along with that. And, you know, when we're talking about this time of year, you know, you talk about some of the older people, my grandparents, my mother and father, and they talk about things that they were given this time of year as a custom in our country more than anything else and across a good many parts of the world, because believe it or not, Christianity, there's other religions out there that's a lot larger than Christianity, and a lot of countries do not even have any kind of a giving or receiving this time of year. The United States and a few others are the ones that basically do that. But when you talk about the older people and that they were giving a lot of times one gift, and a very insignificant amount of money was spent on that gift because that's all they had. And how that they could remember what they were given many, many years later. And today, we give a volume of things to our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, and most of the time, we soon forget what we were given. And a lot of times, a very expensive value in what it was looked at a few years ago. And we have gotten to the point in this country, because we're so materialistic, that we think that everything sometimes should be given to me or to you. And when the Bible says more blessed to give than it is to receive, I think we've got that twisted around. And it's more blessed to receive than it is to give. And I don't really understand why we have gotten there other than a materialistic society that we live in. So as we go through this, I want you to think about giving and what its importance to you. I'm not that much older than some of you in here. I'm twice the age of some of you, four or five times the younger ones. And I can remember for a birthday getting one present of an insignificant value. Okay? Because that's all my parents had. And then later in life, you get more as things happen. And, you know, and the giving piece of it. And we as Christians have to rise above the things of this world. We have children today and grandchildren that expect their parents and grandparents to give them everything. Okay? And that's not the children's fault. Okay? Sometimes it's good to say no, parents and grandparents. Sometimes it's good to say no. And other times it's good to say yes. And we need to weigh that. Many years ago, I heard of a man that said that he hoped by the time that he died, that he had four children, I think it was, that they would all have their own houses that he could give them to them before he died. And that was his major accomplishment in life, him and his wife. And that's what they did. Okay? I'm asking you what your major accomplishment in life is going to be as you give. And some things to think about. The almighty dollar. You know, it seems like that the almighty dollar is what causes a problem, isn't it? You know, some make more than others. I'm not going to argue that. Some need money more than others, probably. But the almighty dollar is what makes this all happen, isn't it? And you know, it hasn't been that many years ago that they talked about things being in pennies and not dollars. And today, dollars are even frowned upon sometimes. You know, this time of year, the retailers want you to spend money. You see it all over the place. It's everywhere, right? You got to spend money. You don't love your wife unless you spend money. You don't love your kids unless you buy this. You don't love your grandchildren unless you get them this. You're a Scrooge if you don't participate in all the things that are going on and the amounts of money that they spend, and you're bombarded with the things on TV and the radio, if you're like me and travel a good bit, and about the retailers and how they're not having a good year, or they're having a good year, and they never have a good year until it's over with, I don't think. And they're all pushing to try to make the almighty dollar. And they're trying to talk you into spending money and et cetera. People want you to give it. Okay? Dollars, right? If you couldn't give them any other gift other than money, most people would be happy with that, right? Money. Children, friends, neighbors. If I give you $1,000 and I just give it to you, no strings attached, would you be happy with that? Momentarily anyway, right? All right? People want you to give it. And many do all they can to get it. When I think about our children, sometimes the parents work themselves to death to give their children things that they never had. And we forget to enjoy life ourselves. Right? All right? Give the almighty dollar. We work all the overtime we can. We do all we can to give them everything that we never had. And that's the reason why we probably have a spoiled population of young people that we have in this country. Right? Something for us to think about. You know, when the retailers want you to spend it, Jesus had to deal with the thing in the temple. And every time I think about retailers, I think about this. I don't know why. It's in John there, 14, 15, and 16. And found in the temple were those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money setting in the King James Version. And when he had made a scourge, talking about Jesus with small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money, the changers' money, and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house and house of merchandise. And you can see even back then what was happening was the money changers would have these animals there and you would go and make your sacrifice. We talked about this in the last several weeks in the adult class on Sunday morning. And you would have these turtle doves, you'd have these pigeons, you'd have these lambs, you'd have goats, you'd have all kinds of things here. And this menagerie of things here that people could purchase and offer these sacrifices for the different sins under the Mosaic law that they lived under. Okay, so what would happen is these people would go out and buy these for whatever the going price was, and then inflate the price to sell them to the other people. And we're taking advantage of the people. And that's what Jesus was doing, was running them out of the temple because they had made his Father's house merchandise. It wasn't that what they were doing and having the animals readily accessible for the people was not the part that was wrong. It was the exuberant amount of money they were making off of it, the money changers, and taking advantage of the people. Now, I'm not saying that the retailers all do that because they all try to give you a good price. They just want you to spend your money, right? So that they can continue to make a profit. This was not the case here. And Jesus took the whip of small cords, the scourge it's called in the King James, and he drove them out. And people think of Jesus as being a weak and frail man, which he was not. He was a carpenter's son. He was very, how do we want to say it today? He was probably more buff than many of the kids we have today, as far as muscular goes. So something for you to think about. When the retailers want you to spend it, and believe me, there's nothing wrong with giving. I certainly like to give to other people myself. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just where we draw the line, and that's what point I'm trying to make there. And as you people want you to give it, and in Exodus 23 and 8, and it goes on to say, "Thou shalt take no gift, for the gift bindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous." We live in a society where people bribe other people. Okay? I want you to do this for me. If you do this for me, I'll give you X number of dollars and see that it happens. And we are not exempt of that in West Virginia. We have the same problem that Pennsylvania High and everybody else does. You have corruption and things going on. And not very far from here, just a few years ago, a man was telling me about a road widening project we had, and one of the state officials got $5 an hour for every hour the truck ran. And that's just small things. I mean, we had Governor Archmore a few years ago was caught with $50,000 cash in his desk drawer, and things like that, and how that is larger things that we can see and do that. But we want people to give it to us, but how do we give it? Did we get it in the right way? It is for the right purpose. You know, there's times when people need money, and we give it to them, and you should accept it. And there's other times that maybe we don't need it, and we take it because it's greed. Okay? When I think about the presidents, John F. Kennedy, and I don't care what you think about him or whatever, I was a small child, and I remember one of his addresses, State of the Union addresses that he made. And a lot of things were going on in the early 60s with the movements and things that were going on, and the United States was in a little bit of turmoil. And I'll never forget what he said, and I was just a small child, and he said, "Ask not what you can do for your country, or what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And we've lost that. And all I hear about in the politicians running today, on I don't care what side of the fence it is what we're going to give you if you elect me. We're going to give you all of these things. And that's kind of been lost. God is looking for people that are not greedy. Right? People that are not afraid to give. People are not afraid to take when they need it. But at the same time, there's a line there that you have to draw. And if you're always receiving, then there's probably something wrong with that line, right? And we certainly don't want to get into bribes and all the things that they did in the first century, in the Exodus, book of Exodus. And we go over to Timothy, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money. You know, I could take out a coin out of my pocket and I could throw it down there. That's a dime. I could throw it down there. What would it do? In of itself, what would it do? Nothing, right? I can throw it down on that table and it's not going to hurt anybody. What is the love of money? You know, we teach our children to grow up and get these big, high-paying jobs. And all the things going on with it. We send them to school and we want them to make all kinds of money. And sometimes I fear that the most thing that we're not giving them is a good background in what they should be doing to be a good Christian. You're not going to take all those other things with you. I don't care how much money you make. The love of money is the root of all evil. Understand that. And if you have the most high-paying job in this world and forget God, what do you have? Nothing. Okay? I can have the finest house. I can have the finest car. I can have the finest anything you want to say because God has given it to me. And if I don't give it back, what do I have? Nothing. When's the last time that you tried to help someone out, you tried to give to others, and tried to do what you could to do them good to others? Because like I said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And we don't comprehend that, I don't think. And I think it's the country we live in. I think you see other countries where they do not have as much, and they're more readily accessible to giving to others. Okay? Do you remember when the tsunami hit over in Asia a few years ago, and some of those countries were totally devastated? Thousands upon thousands of people died. And here goes the United States in with all of our money to try to help them out. Do you remember what they told us? We don't want your money. Get out. Okay, and they took care of the situation themselves. In all the deep grief that they were in and everything else, and I'm all for trying to give to somebody like that, don't get me wrong, but I think that there's some lessons for us to learn there sometimes that we as a country. Many do all they can do to get it. You remember Simon the sorcerer? And he evidently had money. And Peter was there, and he thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Okay? Thought it could be purchased with money. So he wanted it because he saw that the laying on of the apostles' hands could pass on spiritual gifts to other people. He could see that was something of power. And he wanted that. And Peter said unto him, "Thy money's perished with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." And many people think that, I've heard people say, "Well, I feel like I'm buying my way to heaven." Okay, I'm buying my way to heaven. You see all the religious shows on TV or the talk shows on the religious talk shows on the radio. And they're asking him, "If you want this ministry to continue, will you need to send us X number of dollars? And the more you send, the more you'll be blessed." And things like that. And people send small fortunes sometimes to these outfits. And we understand that the gift of God cannot be purchased with money. It is a gift of God. Okay, it's a gift. It was given to you. You know, when you think about Jesus that God gave us, there's no money in this world. We can pull all of our money in Wellsburg together, in this whole town, the United States of America, all the money we have, all the influence and power we have, and we couldn't purchase that. It was a gift. You see, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. The Father knows what is best for us. We don't always know that. And many times we want things that we don't even need. Just like Simon the sorcerer. And he thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And a lot of times we think our happiness can be purchased with money. Okay? Money is one of the top reasons for divorce in the United States of America. So you young people that are not married, contemplating getting married someday, money is one of the top reasons for divorce. The almighty dollar. So understand that. Talent. We all have talent. We all have the ability to use it, and we need to use it. Right? A couple things to think about if this thing's working right. We all have different talents, right? You know, if I saw a show of hands in here, how many people have no talent? Okay, and there'd probably be several hands go up, right? Why? Because we feel like we have no talent. All right? But we all have different abilities, different ways of doing things. And we all have different ones. Okay? You might not be the best singer in the world. You might not be the best this, that, or whatever in the world. But you know, that phone call to someone else, a lot of times that's a talent. Sending a card to someone and writing a little note in there is a talent. Shaking somebody's hand when they come in the door or walk out the door, that is a talent. And we all have those different talents. Some of us have more ability than others, and some are better at one thing than they are the other. And thankfully we are. So we all have our talents, and we all need to use them. And everyone has some, and you know, my mother-in-law just passed away in September. She'd always say, "I don't have any talent. I can't do anything." And she'd probably done more in her lifetime than I'll ever be able to do. Yet she would always say, I don't have any talent. And I'll never forget that. Sharing with others, the talent to share with others. You know, there's a lady that went to church there several years ago that's no longer with us, passed away, and I didn't know her very well. But I remember going to see someone, and they said of her back in the 40s when things were a little bit hard to get, if she had a bushel of peaches, she would share with others because she knew that other people didn't have them. If she had this, she would share with them. Okay? I think the 30s brought this country closer together than it's ever been. And the 60s, 70s, and 80s has taken it farther away in the 90s than it's ever been. And we need to understand that, that sharing with others is a good thing. And the more we share and the more we care about each other, the better we're all going to be for what we do and how we do it. And we need to understand that. And you know, you can take the parable of the talents and how that the one person took their talent and buried it in the dirt and covered it up there and went off and left it and came back. When the master came back, he dug it up and gave it back to him. How much different are we than that man? That we kind of take a deep breath every time we read that passage and we go, ooh, and ah, I'll never be like that. But many times we are, myself included. We don't use those talents like we should. Okay? We don't visit the nursing homes enough. We don't visit the hospitals enough. We don't do this enough. We don't do that enough, right? I can tell you from those people that's in the nursing home and those who are in the hospital, a visit or whatever certainly brightens their day. A card, a phone call. Because I can tell you, Sister Hazel is not very well. She's very, very sick. You need to understand that. Sister Rhea is very sick. And sometimes we draw on our own little shell and we only worry about ourselves. Sister Trudell is sick. Others are very sick. How hard is it to fill out a card and send them? A phone call. And if you have enough courage to go visit them. You might be in that condition someday, right? I might be in that condition someday. And it is very, very lonely. Time. Time is another one that we got here. And time is one of those things that we all have. And maybe this thing will work, maybe it won't. It waits on no one, right? The good old days. Back when I was a little kid, time went slow. And all the things seemed to go great, right? Back in the good old days. And time waits on no one. That was yesterday. And I can look back and I can remember when I was the size of Lincoln, believe it or not. Even younger than that. And some of the things that I did. And all the things that went on in my life. And now that has been many years ago. Cannot be bought. Not a one of us can purchase 1 second of time. Okay? You're going to be here for approximately 2 hours today. All right, and then you're going to have all that other time during the week that you could spend wisely or spend it on yourself. That's up to you. And we all have the same amount. We're going to talk about that in the next slide, I believe. You have 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, approximately 30 days in a month because some of them 31, 30. And then you got leap year and all that other things. So that's the reason why I put down approximately 30. 12 months in a year and approximately 80 years in a lifetime, somewhere around that. 2 hours of your life will be gone when you leave here this morning. And then you're going to have all those others, 24 hours in a day, right? Come back, you might spend an hour here this evening and then maybe an hour on Wednesday night. And what do you do with your life in between? We all have the same amount of time. You know, I've heard people say, well, I can't go visit the sick. I can't do this. I can't do that. But wait till someday that's you that's sick. Or that's you that's in that condition and just hoping and praying to God somebody walk through that door to brighten your day for a few seconds. And then we would be a lot humbler, I believe, all of us, in that gift that we could give them of our time. Excuse me. Okay, in Psalms 39:4, Lord, make me to know mine end, and to measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. And that's all of us. And we all probably can do a better job, every one of us. Okay, cannot be bought. I'd like to turn over to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, please. I'm going to read a few verses there. Like I said, I didn't have time to put all this up here, so I apologize for that. Third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Through everything there is a time, through every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work of, that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You know, there's a time for everything. And I think that myself, personally, I'll pick on myself, the things I talked about, visiting other people and spending a little of my time with them, I can do a better job. I don't know about you. I can lift some of those burdens. Maybe you can too. And maybe we all need to do better in that respect. You know, love is another thing when you're giving. Love, everybody wants to be loved. I don't care how hard, calloused, whatever you are, everybody wants to be loved. And we all need love because that's what it is. Everyone has it, just some to greater extent than others, right? Love is a very important thing. It is something that we all need. We all need to be cared about. We all need to see that somebody loves us and cares about us. And there's a lot of things in the world you have to deal with where that's not the case. Some don't want to use it. Okay? Some are afraid to say, I love you. I care about you. I want the best for you. Okay? Whether it be a husband and wife, parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren. You know, I never heard my grandmother say that to me once in all the years I was around her. Okay, I knew she cared about me, but I never heard her say that with my one grandmother. I never heard her say that in the 30-some years I was around her. Okay, and there's things that get in the way. And some of those are envy, jealousy, and desires. I want what I want. I'm going to do what I can to get it. I'm going to fulfill my desires. And I don't care whether you like it or not. Envy. Oh, envy is a terrible thing. You see it at home. You see it in the schools. You see it at the workplace. Somebody gets a promotion, or somebody does well in school, or somebody has something a little better than somebody else, and envy and jealousy kicks in there. And love is not there, is it? It kind of turns into hate. And people talk about other people, and they do mean things to other people, and all the things that are going on there in life, that we can head it off. You know, when husbands and wives have problems, a lot of it's communications, okay? Husbands, sometimes we forget to tell and show our wives that we love them. Okay? Sufficiently enough. That's not a big priority thing with men, women. I don't know why, and I apologize for that, but it's not. Women need to hear that more than men, but men need to hear that also. Okay? Everybody needs to hear that somebody loves them and cares about them. And certainly we can do a better job of that. When you talk about giving, how much does it cost you to tell somebody you love them or you care about them? What does that cost you? Not very much, right? And then next thing you know, life is gone and we're filled full of regret because we didn't do some things the best that we possibly could. You know, we're going to go through this life hand in hand, one way or the other. Whether do you love me or hate me or want good for me or want bad for me. Okay? You're going to go through this life together. And we're all going to stand before God someday, right? And He's going to say, well, how was your giving in your life? How was it? And you know, we're going to come up with all these pathetic reasons why we didn't do what we should have done. And you know, God's going to say, I gave you the best I had, my son. What did you give me? What did you give me? You talk about soul searching? You'd be much ahead to search that soul today, your own soul, than you would wait till judgment day. Because giving, God has already given us the best example of giving that anyone can ever give us. Everyone has it. We would like to turn over to 1 Corinthians 13 for just a minute, and then we'll be done. I'm reading from the King James Version, because that's the one I use the most. I know I put a lot of American standards up there because I got the King James in my hand. But when Paul was speaking here, he was speaking to Christians. And that's what's ironic about this whole chapter. You know that? He was speaking to Christians. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, you used to hear people giving vast sums of money to other people. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Isn't that something in the United States of America? I think we need to put that on all the traffic lights around here. Seek not their own. And I think maybe that would help us all. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. But rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, which we have in our hands, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away, talking about spiritual gifts. So there's some things there that we all can think about in giving. And the next time, you're like me and you use a lame excuse, using myself. I can't do something because, well, basically I don't want to. And I feel sorry for myself and you feel sorry for yourself. And it comes time to give. And we give unto the Lord a portion of that which He has blessed us with every first day of the week. And you know, as I look back over the years, I went to denomination when I was younger. And I remember they were talking about giving and wanting to give more, and it was going to cost each family X number of dollars more a week to give the preacher a raise. I mean, we're talking $5 or $10, $5 I think it was, for that to happen. And you ought to have heard the hubbub in the congregation where I went because they were going to have to give $5 more. $5 more to give the preacher a raise. Giving. You know, if it's hard to let go of, if you feel your hand clenching a hold of that, whatever it is, when you go to give it, put it back in your pocket. You're not giving it. You're doing it out of grudgingly a necessity. God loveth a cheerful giver. You have an opportunity to give your life, your time, your talent, and your love to God and your fellow man, and we'll all be better off if we do that. Okay? Or you can ignore it and continue down the path you're going down in life, and husbands and wives, and young people wanting to get married. As my mother-in-law said, marriage is a 60-40 proposition. You give 60% of the time, and you won't have any problems. It's when we don't give that 60% of the time, isn't it? Give as you have been prospered. You know, that has a lot more to it than just money, really. Because we've all been given a phone, we've been given a pen, we've been given the ability to buy a stamp, and we've given an automobile to drive around in, yet we can't find time to visit the sick, to give to the poor, and to spend a few minutes of our time. If you're with us this morning, you're not a Christian. We've just kind of touched on some things here about what we should be doing as far as our time. We're affording you an opportunity to become a New Testament Christian. To hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then to walk in newness of life. Confession, baptism, and walk in newness of life. That is just a start. Then you have to live faithful unto the end. That's when we get into this problem of being able to give as we should. Because we're selfish people in the United States of America as a whole. Not talking about people in this room. Okay, I'm talking about people in the United States as a whole. We want everything given to us. Okay? And I can't say that enough for the election that's coming. And I don't care what side of the fence you're on. I'm not pushing at. But you'll see the politicians up there, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. Okay? What are you giving to God? Ask not what God can do for you, because He's already done it all. All right? But ask what you can do for God. And if you're with us this morning and you're not, and you have become a New Testament Christian, you've brought public reproach upon the church, and you'd like to make those things known, please come as together we stand and sing number 386.